Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 20, last book of the Bible, next to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 20, then 21, 22, that's the end of the Bible. Revelation 20, I want to read verses 11 through 15. You know, there are different ways that we handle hell. We just don't sit around and talk about hell, just like we don't sit around and talk about dying. We try to avoid those topics. And sometimes we make jokes about it. There was this man from Texas that made a long-distance phone call, and after he was done, the operator got back on the phone and said, okay, now that's going to be this many dollars. And he got mad, and he said, I can call hell from Texas for that much. And the operator said, yes, sir, but in Texas, hell is not a long-distance number. So we make jokes about it, and when we get mad, we tell people to go there. Yeah, joke about it, swear it, but we don't like to talk about it. John Blanchard, the British evangelist, wrote a book about 15 years ago. The title of that book is Whatever Happened to Hell, because you just don't hear much about it anymore. Henry Ward Beecher, who preached in the middle 1800s, said, eternal punishment is almost never taught in the pulpit today. And that was 150 years ago. Billy Graham in 1970, and you know how long ago that was, because we remember it. Billy Graham said the doctrine of hell is not only unpopular in the church, it is almost forgotten. In glancing through the books in my library, I found that there has not been many sermons on hell preached in the last 25 years. There hadn't been that many sermons preached since that time in the ensuing 47 years. The concept of hell. So let's read this text, Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hell is real. It's not fashionable to talk about hell. It's not comfortable to talk about hell. It's not enjoyable to talk about hell, but hell is real. Jesus talked four times more about hell than he did about heaven. And if we're going to consider basic things the Bible teaches, we have to look at what does the Bible teach about hell. So first of all, the concept of hell. Now, Shakespeare wrote, to be alone with my conscience, that is hell enough for me. Well, that's not hell. Philosophers said, hell is at the end of a misspent life. That's not real hell. John Milton, the blind poet, said, which way is hell? Myself is hell. And then a lot of people say, people get their hell in this life. Well, your life in this life may be hell, but there's another one later too, guys, because the Bible says so. The concept of hell, the Hebrew word sheol, that's 31 times in the Old Testament, means the underworld, the holding place of the dead. The Hebrew word is sheol, the Greek word is Hades, the underworld, the holding place of the dead. Tartarus is used one time in the Bible, 2 Peter, where it says that angels which kept not their first estate are chained in hell, Tartarus. And then the Greek word Gehenna is the garbage dump of Jerusalem. They could take all the trash, they would take all the garbage out there, they were burning it all the time, there was always smoke, there was always fire, and that's where they dumped dead bodies and indigent bodies. They dumped them on the trash pile outside of Jerusalem, and that is also a concept of hell. Hell is the trash pile where God dumps people who reject him. So you have the concept of hell, then you have the case for hell. A loving God would never send anybody to hell. We hear that a lot. Well, is hell logical? Is hell reasonable? Does hell make good sense? Yes, it does. We've got criminals. They break the law. They have no regard for people's property. They have no regard for people's person. They have no regard for human life. We have to lock them away in prison, or society is not safe. That just makes sense. And hell is the prison of heaven. We have dead bodies when we have a natural disaster like the hurricane that hit. We have dead bodies. You can't leave them laying around. You can't leave them exposed. It promotes disease. It promotes death. It is an unhealthy environment. And I would submit to you this morning that hell is the cemetery of heaven, where you put the dead people, the people that are dead spiritually, that have rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hell is the prison of heaven. Hell is the cemetery of heaven. Hell is also the insane asylum of heaven. A loving God reaches out to everybody. A loving God loves everybody. A loving God offers salvation to everybody. There's a universal offer of salvation. Whosoever will may come. But people choose to reject that. You have to be crazy. But they are. Ecclesiastes 9:3 says, "The wicked have madness in their hearts." They are lunatics. They are spiritually crazy. And hell is the insane asylum of heaven. It makes perfect sense. So you have the concept of hell, the case for hell. You have the causeway to hell. How do people get there? Sunday night, we talked about a track. There used to be an old track, and on the front it said, "What do you have to do to go to hell?" And you open it up, and it says, "Nothing." What do you have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. It's kind of like your teeth. If you ignore them, they'll go away. That's what my dentist says. He makes a lot of money on that, okay? And if he ain't drilling, he ain't billing, okay? All right. Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." There is a path to hell, and there are a lot of people on it. The path to hell includes wickedness. Psalm 9:17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and every nation that forgets God." So you have wickedness, you have forgetting God. You know, the Bible teaches us that there's one place where God isn't. God is not in the thoughts of the wicked. So you can be wicked, you can forget God, you can rebel against God. Jesus told the goats at the sheep and goat judgment, "Inasmuch as you did not do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did not do it unto me." We can neglect and ignore God. We can rebel against God. And we can just not believe in God. John 3:36. We know John 3:16, but how does the chapter end? John 3:36. "He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not that Jesus is the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The concept of hell, the case for hell, the causeway to hell, and then the choice of hell. Joshua 24:15, Joshua told the children of Israel, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." It is a choice, and it's an individual choice everybody makes. Billy Graham wrote, "God will never send anybody to hell. If you go to hell, he goes by his own free choice. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for people. God never meant that people should go there. God has done everything within his power to keep us out. He gave his son to die on the cross to keep you out. Because you see, when God made you, he made you a free moral agent. You can live any kind of life you want to. You can live a good life. You can live a bad life. You can break all of God's laws or you can obey them. And you can go to heaven or you can go to hell. It's your choice." So you have the concept of hell, the case for hell, the causeway to hell, the choice of hell, the continuousness of hell. Hell is forever. Jehovah's Witnesses and other groups teach, Well, Jehovah's Witnesses teach if you're not a Jehovah's Witness, you go to hell and you're burned up. That's the end of you. They believe in soul annihilation. We do not. Over and over again, the Bible teaches us that not only is the word everlasting applied to God's children 14 times, but everlasting is applied to the wicked 7 times in the New Testament. The words forever and ever are applied to Christians 17 times, but they're applied to the devil and those who serve the devil 3 times in the Bible. Yeah, good is everlasting, so is evil. Good is forever and ever, so is evil. It is continuous. Mark 9:44, 2 times, twice Jesus said, or be cast into hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Mark 9. Then you have the consciousness in hell. People are awake. They're not asleep. They're not dead. They are alive and they are awake in heaven and in hell. That's what the Bible teaches. There is consciousness. The rich man in Luke 16 lifted up his eyes in hell and saw poor man Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He was alive. He was conscious. He could see. He could talk. He could hear in hell. After death, we are conscious. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for God's children. Souls are alive in heaven. Revelation 6 talks about that. Revelation 6, verse 9, when he hath opened the 5th seal, I saw the altar of the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, they're in heaven. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it is said unto them that they shall rest yet for a little season, and their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. There is living consciousness in heaven and in hell, the Bible teaches. They are not dead, they are not asleep, they are awake. A Baylor college student went to Italy on vacation. His watch broke. He went to an Italian watchmaker, and the guy was working on his watch at his bench, and he looked up and said, "Do you know that Hitler's alive?" The Baylor student said, "Sir, I am a history major. I know the history of World War II. There is 100% proof that Adolf Hitler killed himself in the last days of World War II in his bunker in Berlin." And the watchmaker said, "No, he's still alive." And the student said, "Prove it." And the old man took out his Bible and read that verse. In hell, the man lifted up his eyes and said, he said, "Hitler's still alive, son. He's just in hell alive." And we believe that. Everybody that's dead is still alive. All right, in conclusion. Now, what does it mean when a pastor says that? Means he's about half done, okay? What does it mean when a preacher takes off his watch and lays it on the pulpit? Absolutely nothing. In conclusion, guys, we have the concept of hell, the case for hell, the causeway to hell, the choice of hell, the continuous nature of hell, and consciousness in hell. What are we going to do? Well, there are 3 things we know for sure. Number one, Jesus is going to win. 1 Corinthians 15:25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Number two, we know Satan is going to be conquered. And the devil and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire. And number three, we know that everybody is going to be judged one day. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Everybody's going to be judged. Everybody stands before God. Everybody has to give an account. George Whitefield, the famous British preacher, was preaching. And he was using as a text Jonah and the ark. And it says, "And the door was shut." And he talked about God shutting doors on people's lives. God shutting the door when people die. And there were a couple of smart alecks in church. you know, teenage boys, and they were sitting there laughing and making fun of Witchfield, and they were saying to themselves, well, you know, if God shuts a door, he always opens another one. And Whitfield heard him, kind of made him mad, but he said, okay, guys, you're right. When God shuts a door, another door opens. But for you and for other people, the other door that opens is the door to hell. Wow. And those two young men accepted Christ as their Savior. There are two doors. It's our choice. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's the challenge for us this morning. If you've never believed, you can have a chance to believe as we sing our invitation hymn.